Hi, this is Tyler.
And I'm Tasia.
Jason.
And you are listening to The Solar Coaster. What's up, everybody? I am Tyler.
And I'm Tasia.
I'm Jason.
Daddy Dollar Sign. We are
Chase
back.
Daddy Dollars.
Chase J. Daddy Dollars. You need a nickname, too.
Didn't we give you one last time?
We didn't give you a last... Did we?
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
If it's major, hit me on my Tasia.
The Tasia Beam? I should call you the Tasia Beam. Don't look at her in the eye. She'll draw you in.
I might.
Well, we are back talking about NEM 2.0, a hot topic of conversation, net energy metering.
2.0 going to 3.0.
3.0 when?
April 14th?
15th is the official day. 14th is the deadline to stay in NEM 2.
And doing the research, seeing the NEM 1, 2, 3, don't they have a 4?
I'm sure it'll get there.
I was going to say, it's like all totally drawn out, so.
They're probably planning it right now.
There's some NEM monsters. It's funny when you read online, there's people that are like, oh, this is super beneficial, and other people are like, oh my gosh, this is horseshit, right? So depending on which side, but we wanted to talk about that a little bit more today, more for like, what does the customer like benefit? How does it work for them? I mean, last time we talked about what it is, period. Now we're going to go over kind of from their perspective, I guess. And I guess when I say customer, it would be the residents and business owner, right?
Correct. Whoever pays an electric bill.
So it really doesn't matter. It's just net energy metering for either or, if you've got solar panels on your roof.
Yeah.
What about ag, like a farm? Doesn't matter?
Nope.
Doesn't matter.
It affects everybody who pays an electric bill in California.
Okay, so let's recap. So people might not have heard the other episode about it. What is it? How does it work?
Well, let's talk about the first thing I think would be net metering one, where that was the first agreement where we all, in the state of California agreed, we're going to compensate you for the rate that we charge you at the same rate.
I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the point.
So the way it works, it's kind of like a bank account. You make deposits, you make credit, you withdraw, and so look at that as your energy meter. Mm-hmm. Where sometimes when the sun's up, you have solar, you're going to produce power. You probably produce too much sometimes, spins a meter backwards. In that case, the utility will give you credit for the exact same amount they charge you for, right? That's the way it started. Then when it got to 5% of their client base with solar, they changed it to 2, which it was basically the same, but there was non-bypassable charges. So they charged you a little bit every time you had to pull from them.
Real quick, who's they?
They is the utility. So PG&E, SMUD.
SoCal Energy, whatever it is. So they all got together, round table, some fancy hotel, and said, hey, I got an idea.
They talked with their political friends through the unions.
Maybe even at the French Laundry.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
It was passed through the California Energy Commission, which is 5 appointees from the governor. So
that's right. We talked about that last time. I remember now.
Yep. So that's been in effect for a while. Now they're at the point where they say, okay, we have to change these rules, right? So now it's going to 3.0.
Like, oh my gosh, the customer's benefiting too much. Yeah. Californians are actually benefiting. Absolute BS.
That's exactly it. So at the very beginning, they threw all kinds of stuff at us. Like, we're going to change the agreement that you had that was a 20-year agreement to a 10-year agreement. And you're like, that's against the law. So there's a lot of things that they had on the table. And like any negotiation, they start here, mm-hmm. we start here, and it meets in the middle. So let me just talk about the positive things that came from this that we thought were going to change. The first thing is NEM1 and NEM2 are not changed. So if you have solar in your house,
yep.
you're locked into a 20-year agreement. This okay. doesn't impact you until the 20 years is up.
Gotcha.
That makes
gotcha.
Sense.
Yep.
So
by then there'll be no sun.
Yeah. We're going to be on Mars.
And as long as you get solar before April 13th or get locked into an NEM agreement.
She just locked you in her Tasia beam because you're going to say that.
Yep.
So then you're covered for 20 years.
20 years, yep.
So you should hurry.
No new rate requirements as long as you get it done before April. So if you're talking to us, we're cutting it off before April 15th because we know we're going to have so much stuff to get submitted.
Massive paperwork just to get it in there, right?
Correct.
It's already mounting.
We already have a ton of it. And we'll talk about that later, kind of mm-hmm. when it's, okay, so what do we do now? We'll explain and that'll kind of get us to where we are now and how we're already overloaded with it. But
So really, I mean, Californians, right, they, we'll just refer to them as they, made this adjustment. Now it's a matter of telling everybody, going, you need to know what's coming down the pipe, protect yourself, right? So it's kind of like a land grab, basically.
Yep.
To lock them into 20 years.
Yeah, we asked them for, basically it's a quiff in April, mm-hmm. and we asked for beach access, so it wasn't just a fall off the cliff in April.
Beach access.
You know, we were like,
never heard that before. That's so,
can we?
Can you slow it down?
Can we just gradually roll in? Like, give us an 80, 60, 40, yeah. 20, 10, so it doesn't just crash at the, you know.
They're like, there's a beach down there, you'll hit it.
Yeah, you'll find the one.
They'll figure it out. That's why it's called a solar coaster.
You know when you're walking out in a lake, a man-made lake, and you're like, talking to your buddy, all of a sudden you just sink?
I've actually been in the ocean and it scares the shit out of here. You're like,
where'd you go?
Yeah.
So that's what we're up against. So they're basically changing it to where before they compensated you. So right now, what's peak time? Right about 50 cents. During peak time, they're charging you 50 cents a kilowatt hour, which is astronomical. If you go to Idaho, it's 4 cents anytime. Shout out to Idaho, by the way.
Yeah. Good job.
Idaho Falls, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're changing it from 50 cents that they're going to compensate you for to about five as the baseline. There's going to be times that we can get into that in a little bit where, depending on the time of day, the time of year, they'll give you adders if you're spending the meter backwards. But for the most part, they're basically cutting that from 50 cents to five, regardless of what they're charging you.
Now, for the layperson, is that encouraging me as a homeowner to use more energy or less? Because I don't know how to read that.
All it's doing is, so let me tell you what their perspective is. Their perspective is, we're doing this so that you almost are required to have a battery with your solar, so that we don't want you to spin the meter backwards. We don't want to have to compensate you for spinning the meter backwards. We want you to store your power if you overproduce and use it yourself. Mm-hmm. That way it doesn't impact our grid. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. My opinion, in 10, 15 years, the grid will no longer exist for this reason. But yes.
So what would happen if the grid no longer exists? How do we?
We'll be self-sustainable. You'll have solar.
Your own California.
You'll have a battery. You'll have a generator. So there's no, why would you tie into their grid? You know, and we're close there now. Clients will call us and say, hey, I want to be completely off grid. And we'll show them what that would take. Now, some people do it. Some people don't. It's still pretty expensive. But I think through economies of scale, eventually people are going to, especially if you're putting in a new subdivision, you own how many acres? Five or 10?
20 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. So you have 20 acres. You're going to split that up. Let's say you're going to build 20 houses an acre each, right? As a developer, why wouldn't you put in a large battery bank, a large solar bank, a large generator, and say, I'm a utility company, we're not connecting to PG&E.
Yeah, you're your own.
Ta-da!
Right? So are you.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be the new norm.
But then wouldn't that put like a PG&E, not out of business, but like companies like that?
Yeah.
So they're shooting themselves.
We're going to call and go, hey, would you mind coming to get this big ass tower from my backyard?
It's ugly.
Yeah, I don't want it.
I love birds of prey, but its nest needs to come down.
Ooh, don't talk about birds in fermentation.
Uh-oh. Oh, that's right.
Ca-ca! Hey, I saw some good birds this past weekend.
Did you?
I
totally forgot. You're a birder.
I am. I got down to Lodi. Did you know Sacramento had a delta? I didn't know that.
Hello?
It's litter.
It's me.
Yeah, you're looking for.
With boats and...
Really?
And
massive birds.
Did you know the state of California has a city called Sacramento? What's that?
Yeah. We're up on our geography. Yeah. Well, for everybody listening. Okay.
Well, it's really dry, so I wasn't expecting such a lush, wet landscape.
We'll let that slide.
We have thousands of miles of coastline.
Did you know that? She can name every single bird in the book. You ask her about a delta five minutes from her house. What?
Well, anyways, while I was there, I went to the stripper cafe. Some people want to call it striper.
The fish is stripers in the Delta.
Would you rather go to the striper or the stripper cafe for breakfast?
Probably the stripper cafe.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, that is.
With family or without?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Let's bachelor party or with my daughter? With my daughter, 100%. The striper cafe.
These striper burritos are delicious, Dad.
Does the fish have high heels on?
Oh my God.
Let me just tell you my New Year's resolution. Okay. I decided I'm giving half of my money to charity.
Yeah.
Unless she's not working, I'm going to give it to Angel. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Striper. We're talking about Striper.
Striper.
But actually, you don't have any excess money because it's all going to PG&E now.
Yes. There you go.
Well, so, okay, way to tie it back. But that seems counterintuitive that they would push people to this to now eliminate that. I don't think it's ever going to go away, but they would diminish quite a bit. It makes sense to be off-grid.
The grid is failing now. it's been neglected for so long that they're saying there's, we have all this push to take everything electrical. I mean, the codes have changed. You don't even have a choice in the future. Everything's electrical in your house. No more natural gas, period. In 3 years, that's going to be code.
Oh, that's right. I'm a felon because I've got gas in my house.
Correct.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yes, yes. Welcome to California.
So if going back to what you were saying about new subdivisions, right? So Title 24, so that'll go. So are they then going to be required, you think, in whatever amount of years that they, that that one has to have a, just like you had a garage door, it's got a big ass battery on the side?
Yes. It's already required in 2023 that you must pre-wire a critical load panel for a battery. It's a requirement for a new home to have a critical load panel for a battery. The same requirement that when solar had to be pre-wired, that was a requirement through Title 24. 3 years later, now solar's a requirement. Jeez. So now they're requiring this stuff as a pre-wire. So in 3 years, we've seen this episode before, it's going to be required.
Yeah. Wow.
Just getting you ready for it.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's crazy town. So how does that, I mean, obviously that doesn't affect other states. I mean, this is, we've got the most sun by and large, I guess. I mean, Texas, whatever. Can they use that power in any other way?
What do you mean? Explain that.
I don't know. Can you, so you know how we, other states will filter water if you got an excess or whatever. Can we do that with energy? Is this now becoming a natural resource we can export?
We can, it's possible, but we don't do it here. There is something called virtual net metering, and PG&E, I don't believe, is very fond of it. They do it in Mexico.
Where, goodness gracious. Well, if you got a big-ass battery, I mean, that's like me sharing my cell phone charger with somebody.
Right. It would be like, if we lived in a neighborhood, it'd be like, I created all this power, you didn't create that much, we could share it.
Right.
Wow.
So that, I think that's the power, that's, social. If you're asking me to like look in the future, that's the future. The developer's going to put in these houses and they're going to have a residual income and they're going to set it up to where it's more reliable than the grid, right? It's cheaper than the grid and they're not going to have to pay the grid fees.
Wow. So then this whole NEM thing, this is almost like a get it now. There's a little window of time.
Correct.
That everybody can then lock in so they're not affected by this.
Correct. So if you're thinking about it, you think you're going to do it, absolutely get it now. They're also allowing, though, for us to pre-submit and get pre-approval. And then they allow you to build it at another time.
Okay.
So if you think...
Lock and shop type of a deal.
Exactly. So we're running a special now where you can call in. We'll get all the information we need from you. We'll do all the engineered plans, which are required. We have to do all the paperwork. We have to, you know, submit all these docs. It's actually pretty laborious. But we can get it so that it's set. You're locked in at this NEM2 rate for a 20-year period from the time that you turn the system on, and you're not required to build it. At first, they said 3 years. I just read this morning that they're not going to have a three-year requirement. So okay. I don't know if that's true or not. But it sounds like they may even push that further.
Well, it sounds like, and most likely it's lobbyists and whatever groups are going, no way, we can't do that.
Who knows?
Et cetera. Yeah. So then how does this work for the everyday consumer, right? Let's take it from a residential standpoint.
Sure.
How does that work for them? So they go and hear this and they see it. I'm sure, I mean, I've seen it, like you got it all over the, you know, internet, right? Lock in, lock in, lock in. How, take me through that from a residential.
The first thing you should do is go to our website. We have a landing page there where it's, you know, kind of explains it. You give us your information and somebody with a very amazing voice that loves birds will probably be the first person to call you.
Can you get the, like, the taser meter on the phone?
You can.
Oh, man.
I answer.
That's crazy.
If it's just crazy, I still answer the phone. We answer the phone here at DC Solar.
Isn't that nuts?
Actually, that is.
What a concept.
Because that's, yeah. Like, you know how many phone trees I've been on? Like, it's absolutely bananas.
You get me before the phone tree.
There you go. Okay. All right. Cool. Mm-hmm. Check mark.
So, yeah. So, submit that. You know, go give us your information. We'll give you a call. We'll talk through what the process, what it takes, what it costs, all that kind of stuff, and explain to you what your options are, and we can get you locked in.
So, people that are calling right now, what are the questions? Are they going, hey, I saw this. I have a house. Like, who would this benefit to? Is it somebody that just moved in or maybe, like, military? They're going to be in for 2 years, 3 years?
That's a good question. So the thing with this lock to 2.0, it does not transfer over to anybody else.
Ah, okay.
So this is somebody, there's an exception. It will transfer over if it's somebody in the family.
Okay.
So if you moved out and your daughter stayed in the house, it would transfer to her.
Do I have to transfer title? Like, does it have to go through recording?
It's just that you have to prove that you guys are family and that she's taking over the bill.
Gotcha. Right? Look at her feet. Much just like mine. They got webbed toes.
She doesn't have a beard though. Are you sure it's... So yeah, so that's the only exception for transferring over is if it stays in the family.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like, we had a client call the other day and he was like, what do I do? Should I try to do this? Blah, blah, blah. And he's in his late 80s. He's like, I'm only going to be in this house for the next couple years probably. And I was like, do you think your kids are going to buy the house? Do you think they're going to move in?
Or they could gift it or something?
They don't have any interest in being here. Probably more than likely they're going to sell this house when I move out. I'm like, it's probably not worth it for you to lock in.
Yeah.
Because as soon as somebody buys the house, that doesn't transfer over.
So what about investors though? Like, so if I own multiple homes, I want to put this on to lock in that. Absolutely. Is that a viable option?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially I didn't even think about that to you. Yeah.
Especially if you're renting them.
Oh yeah.
If you're renting them out.
It's huge for investors that have rental properties because they not only do they get the tax credit, they get the depreciation, which pays for over half the system. And they have a residual income because they do a power purchase agreement similar to how PG&E or anybody else does it. And they'll say, we're going to charge you, PG&E charges you 50 cents. I'm going to give you a good deal and charge you 25. And there's a report that's run automatically from this monitoring system. Yeah. Every month, you're going to write me a check with your rent. It's an extra $8,000 a year to the homeowner or the person who's the property owner. So it's another residual income in addition to the rent. So it's very common.
So if I had 5 homes, 10 homes, and I wanted to get, I got solar and a battery, going back to your earlier analogy, would I be technically off-grid and creating my own if I could tie that in?
So here's the deal. Off-grid means off-grid. That means you do not have a PG&E meter on your property. You're never going to get anything from PG&E. So there's people...
But if I buy a residential house, more than likely it's on there.
It's going to be, yeah. Or if you if you were going to build a new house on your property where there's no PG&E now, you would either have to pay PG&E $100,000 to bring power in, or you can say, never mind, I want to be off-grid.
Yeah.
And you can compare that.
Yeah.
More often than not, in the last few years, we've talked people into tying into the grid because the grid is the cheapest battery available under...
Now.
Under NEM1 and NEM2.
Right.
Correct. So yeah. But yeah, people say I'm off the grid. Like, technically, I'm off the grid. I'm tied to the grid, but do I ever touch it? Not very often because I have solar and batteries. And, you know, the grid's there if I need it, but I don't really ever use it.
I'm writing down we're going to do a show on off-grid. I want to go deep into that. What does that actually mean? What does that entail?
Well, we don't get deep.
Oh.
So yeah, if you wait...
bring birds in here.
If you wait now and you don't go to NEM3, what does that look like? Let's talk about that first.
Yeah,
you gotta have an idea of like what's the impact if I don't do it.
Because some people are probably sitting on the fence, so like just toe in the water, calling, hey, what is that? I saw this.
Should I pay this, you know, nominal fee to lock myself in? I might move, who knows? If you go into NEM3, what that looks like is you're probably going to, the cost benefit is going to be at least probably 30% different. Right now, you can get a payback on the residential side anywhere from, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. You're probably looking at anywhere from 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 years on a payback if you wait.
Mm.
So is it significant? Yes, it is. But, you know, the system sizing is going to change because you're probably not going to do 100% because you're not going to be able to account for future and all that kind of stuff. The other major change is, right now, we're on an annual true-up period, right? So you, from the time you get your permission to operate, some months are going to be negative where you're going to pull from the grid. Some months are going to be positive where you're going to overproduce. But at the end of the year, the goal is to be net zero, right? And they charge you at the end of the year. They call that the true-up. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's the true-up? My true-up bill sucks. That's like the big thing.
I don't think I've ever paid one.
There you go.
Seen mine.
Good. That's what we like.
That's
the goal. I don't know if I'm missing it. But...
So the true-up for... in NEM3 is going to change to monthly kind of. And what that means is...
I got my monthly kind of bill from PG&E.
Monthly only as it benefits to the utility.
Oh,
so if you have a negative number, if you overproduce, they will allow you to carry that forward. If you have a number where you're pulling from the grid, so let's say that you use 30 kilowatt hours, 100 kilowatt hours from the grid, they're going to make you pay for it that month.
What about if it's August and I overproduce? What's going to happen?
They're going to allow you to carry that excess to the next month.
Got it.
Right? So that's the difference now. Everything carries over negative and positive under NEM1 and 2. In the future, it's going to be, well, shoot, I know I'm going to underproduce in the wintertime because it's dark a lot more. Right? It's dark when we get up. It's dark when we get home. We're using way more electricity. Right. And the peak time is when we get home, it's dark and your solar is not producing. So when everybody gets home and uses everything in the house from 5 to 9 p.m., which is when we all use it,
That's when your Netflix shows just pop up randomly. Yeah.
And you're charging your car, you're turning the heater on, you're cooking, you're doing all that kind of stuff, right? All the lights are on the house, kids are on their devices, doing their homework. So
use a muffler, bro.
Sorry. It's that breakfast burrito. So yeah, so during that time, we know traditionally you're gonna have a negative number because it's your solar's not producing as much and you're using more, right? So in the future, you're going to have to write a check during those months.
Does that just come at the end of the year? Like,
monthly? It does for one and two. Three, if you have a negative number, you have to write the check that month, right?
This just stinks to me. Like, you got the big utility going, man, we're losing money. How do we go and make more? Oh, let's just let's just implement this whole thing we just made up.
Totally.
I can't make up not paying them. They'll shut all my stuff off.
Yeah, totally.
Piss me off every time.
They are allowing you to change your true up date one time. So if you wrap your mind around that, I started thinking about that for a while. I'm like, okay, how does that benefit me? If I'm locked into NEM3, what am I going to do to benefit myself with that true up date? Mm-hmm. I'm going to make the true up date at the end of the winter. End of the winter, right? So you're going to start in the spring when you're overproducing all the way through, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have an excess because you're going to carry your overproduction over. In the wintertime, you're going
to... Which means you don't have to pay.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
So then when you get into those winter months, you're going to have a surplus that you can draw from. At the end...
Gotcha. Like a bank account, for your analogy.
At the end of the winter, yes, you'll probably still have some, but you'll only have to pay for it at the end of the winter instead of having to pay each month. Does that make sense?
It does. It just seems like a mind F just because the whole point people, years ago got solar to go, I'm just going to go and use the power. Now I have to do the jockeying for position of, it's almost like trying to figure out a mutual fund. What do I buy? When? Where?
When do I sell?
Exactly. I get it, sort of.
The only thing that will save you, which is why, their perspective is we're doing this because, is if you get a battery. So like we were saying, that's going to be the new norm. Once you go to NEM3, more than likely you're going to buy solar and battery, and solar alone will not be as common. I would say it's probably going to be 25%, where right now it's 95%.
Jeez.
Because you're not going to want to spend your meter backwards during those times where you're only getting 5 cents a kilowatt.
Right.
Even when you use your own power.
Yeah. It makes sense. That's the whole point you do it.
Yeah. So during the day, you're not using the power. Everybody's at work, whatever. The sun's up generating electricity. Right now, you're spending it backwards getting a credit. In the future, you're just going to charge your battery. When you get home, you're going to use power from your battery.
So like all the dads in California, I was going to say America, right? Who go and say, kids, don't touch the thermostat. They're basically going to go looking at their battery level, go, get off your phones, turn the lights off. That's going to be a whole new meme.
So. Well, that you actually do when you're off grid because you don't have a choice. But depending on your income level, you will decide whether or not you will allow them to use their stuff once the battery juices up because you're buying it at that peak time.
Got it. So, Tasia, real quick, going with you. You feel a lot of the calls that are coming in. So walk me through, like, when someone calls and they go, yep, I want to do this. What's that process? What is it? Because I know there's a fee, right? You got to lock it in. What does that do for the customer?
What do you mean as far as the process is, what type of information do we need to get them through the steps?
What's the paperwork? Yeah, exactly. Like, what are they? So if I was calling in, you'd be like, great, Tyler, I want to, let's get you all taken care of.
Yeah, but all I need is like your name, your address, email to start, and basically a copy of your PG&E bill, your address, so we can kind of design a system. I want to know what you kind of want, what you're looking for in the future.
And then, if I pay that fee, that locks me in. Like, what's that whole locking in process to make sure I'm good with NEM2?
So you'll pay the fee.
Okay.
We'll get your paperwork in. We'll get a design and a plan set for you. You'll receive an agreement to sign from PG&E. And then as long as there's no deficiencies in your application and it's received before the 14th, then you should be locked in. And as long as you
April 14th?
April 14th. And as long as you don't want to oversize your system or change your system and make it larger, you should be good to go in the future.
So really, yeah, you're handling all that. I mean, could technically someone go and do that? Yeah, maybe. But the whole point is you're designing the system.
We are. Yeah, we have to do engineering docs.
I don't know if a person could go and do it by themselves unless they were...
You could.
I mean, I think you could, but you would
need... There's DIYers out there, I'm sure.
If you can draw your own electrical line diagram and put together...
Yeah, you would need your own signal line.
If you were an electrical engineer and you're like, I think I can do this myself, you probably could.
Yeah.
You could probably spend 60, 80, 100 hours researching all the paperwork you have to fill out, and then by trial and error, you know, submit it and see if it works.
It's like everybody can build a house or have the ability, but not everybody's going to do it. Right? It, so it's kind of the same thing.
You could you could install the solar yourself too from that perspective.
Oh, dude, I can get my fat ass up on it.
Yeah, and just as someone who fills out these NEM agreement forms, you might know everything to put on that form, but when you go and open it up tomorrow, they could have changed one of
those.
And that's the thing. Like,
that is a true thing. Today, what did they just add to this thing?
So every morning you get up there and go, all right.
We literally went through and created a checklist and a process to make sure we could take care of our clients who want us to get them locked in yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And she was training somebody new this morning on this process. And when she locked into the system, everything had already changed.
Goodness gracious.
So it's a moving target. They're criminals, dude. It's ridiculous.
No, 100%. I agree.
I have plenty of friends and family who work for PG&E, mm-hmm. and they have a wonderful job and they're a wonderful employer. And so I'm not knocking anybody who works for them, but the executives at the top are criminals and they should be in prison. When you light things on fire and you kill people and then you charge us because you had to pay the bill for that.
Yeah.
That's criminal.
Yeah.
So
I don't disagree.
Nothing against the IBEW, nothing against the linesmen. You guys save us. You guys do everything for us. We appreciate everything that you do for us. If you don't like PG&E and they go out of business, call us. We're hiring.
You're going to get busy for the next couple of years. Bojo.
But the executive at the top, I mean, if it was any other industry, they would be in prison.
If it was me, I would definitely be in prison.
Looking at birds out your window.
No, I probably won't have a window.
Get her off the solar coaster. Right. Oh, my gosh.
So let me talk to you about a couple things real quick. Once everything, if you don't get locked in, and even if you do, you know, people are always calling me, especially, let me just tell you, my parents-in-law, everybody's saying, when's the right time to buy a battery? Mm. If you want a battery now, buy it. But as part of this new NEM 2.0 to 3.0 thing, the state of California is going to be releasing a ton of new money for batteries and storage.
Okay.
So that's free money. So that's through the SGIP program, Storage Generation Incentive Programs. That's what SGIP stands for. Everything's an acronym. $900 million are going to get released in July. So if you think you're going to want a battery, which would be stupid not to, what you should do is you should call us and get on our waiting list for this application to get free batteries. So if you think you're going to do it, you'd be stupid not to call us. Let's get your name in our system. Let's get everything we need. We'll do another whole episode on batteries on the next podcast. But
that's a nice little teaser.
Yeah, that's what you should do. Tons of free money that's available. We'll talk about that, you know, in depth next time.
Well, because that's how I got to butter you up, right? It's free. It's free. It's free. You're not. You're paying it some way.
Okay. So just to be clear, because nothing is free.
You're right.
It's a rebate. So you will have to put some money up front to get your money back.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that on the next one. But I want to go into depth because that's a monster in and of itself, which is good. It's just, and I think too, that's kind of what we want to do is help navigate,
correct.
Right? There is so much on the internet that you got to like weave through. That's what we're doing is going, how do we condense it down and go, here's step 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. Ladies, gentlemen, thank you for hanging out. Everybody listening, get on or get off the solar coaster. Doesn't matter.